This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, January 5th. Good morning. I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Ross to retire at year end. Delta Tunnel hits another snag. Calabero leads another ag committee. And Venezuela, uncertainty. Ross to retire at the end of this calendar year. CDFA Secretary Karen Ross plans to retire at the end of the year, leaving office as Governor Gavin Newsom's tenure wraps up. Ross shared the news in a podcast hosted by the International Fresh Produce Association. I think 16 years will be plenty, Ross told Vonnie Estes, Vice President of Innovation at IFPA, first appointed in 2011 by Governor Jerry Brown and reappointed by Newsom in 2019. Ross has been one of the longest-serving agriculture secretaries in California state history. Under her leadership, CDFA survived sweeping spending cutbacks in the wake of the Great Recession, maintaining its core functions in pest and disease prevention, food safety, and market promotion. The department then expanded its scope to shape California's role in climate-smart agriculture, investing around $1 billion into grants promoting soil health, water use efficiency, methane reduction, and other climate initiatives. Ross has also overseen CDFA's implementation of controversial standards like Proposition 12, defending the state's animal welfare law through high-stakes litigation. Her retirement rides a wave of turnovers in the administration. Last month, Chuck Bonham, the longtime director of the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, stepped down to take a leadership position at the Nature Conservancy. Also retiring from CDFA are state veterinarian Dr. Annette Jones and public affairs director Steve Lyle. Court ruling clouds financing future for Delta Tunnel. And an appeals court has thrown a wrench into Governor Newsom's plan to move forward with the Delta Tunnel, finding the state lacks the authority to issue bonds to help pay for the project. The decision concluded the California Department of Water Resources does not have clear statutory authority to finance the proposed Delta Conveyance Project through revenue bonds without explicit approval from the legislature. The ruling does not block the project outright, but it complicates a central piece of the administration's financing strategy for the multi-billion-dollar tunnel. DWR said it is reviewing the decision and weighing next steps. The agency stressed the ruling does not affect ongoing permitting or planning for the project. Opponents hailed it as a significant check on the administration. Limón taps Calabero to again lead Ag Committee. In announcing her new leadership and committee appointments, Senate Pro Tem Monique Limón has assigned Senator Ana Cabarella of Merced to chair the Agriculture Committee. Cabarella replaces Senator Melissa Hurtado of Bakersfield, who is being chairing a budget subcommittee on general government spending. Before rising to the Senate, Cabarella chaired the Assembly Agriculture Committee in 2017. Under the leadership of Senator Mike McGuire of Harrisburg last year, Cabarella led the powerful Appropriations Committee. Senator Sabrina Cervantes of Riverside now holds that position. Congress returns amid Venezuela uncertainty. Lawmakers are back in town this week to kick off the new year with government funding once more up in the air on Capitol Hill. The biggest story in Washington, of course, is the future of Venezuela and the U.S. role there. Venezuela is an important market for U.S. farmers. As of last year, the United States was the second largest exporter of farm products to the South American country, a 26% market share, according to USDA. The main U.S. ag exports include soybean meal, corn, wheat, soybeans, and rice. Now, for more on the coming week, and for that matter this month in D.C., read our Washington Week Ahead at AgriPulse.com. USDA releases bridge assistant payment rates. USDA made some important news during the holiday break, releasing payment rates for $11 billion in the Farmer Bridge Assistance Program, as well as the final annual Household Food Security Survey. Commodity groups welcomed the release of the payment rates, but also stressed that they would not make farmers whole after several years of stagnant prices and rising input costs. The American Soybean Association in particular said the payments would not prevent many growers from leaving the business of farming altogether. The administration has yet to release rates for the $1 billion in payments targeted for specialty crop and sugar growers. USDA Food Security Report, which is for 2024, shows food insecurity reached 13.7%. That's a 10-year high during the last year of the Biden administration. The Trump administration, as we know, has canceled the annual survey, so it will be years before that study is reinstated, if it's ever reinstated. Some of the highlights include some 8.4% of households with children were found to be food insecure in 2024. For married couples with children, the rate was 10.9%. Six states have food insecurity rates that are statistically significantly above the national average based on a three-year average: Arkansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Oklahoma, and Texas. 16 states in the District of Columbia have food insecurity rates that are statistically significantly below the national average. USDA inspectors to test retailer compliance with new SNAP restrictions. USDA will send inspectors to stores to test out new Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program food restrictions being implemented in 18 states. Investigators and the Food and Nutrition Service Office of Retailer Operations and Compliance will go undercover to try to buy restricted items that, according to an agency memo, if violations are found, retailers will receive a warning letter and be subject to future investigations. If a second violation is found, then the retailer may be barred from participating in SNAP. Trump hits pause on tariff hikes on lumber products. The president has delayed increasing duties on furniture, kitchen cabinets, and vanities by 1 year. The move is the latest tariff pivot following tariff reductions on ag products late last year. The administration imposed 25% duties on certain wood products and cabinets in September over national security concerns, with the tariff set to rise on January 1st. Those increases have been postponed for another year, the White House says, to let negotiations with partners play out. The fact sheet notes that the administration still sees reliance on foreign timber and lumber products as a threat to U.S. national security and the domestic industry. Now, take note, on Friday, President Trump doubled down on the importance of tariffs in a post on social media, saying, quote, "Losing our ability to tariff other countries who treat us unfairly would be a terrible blow to the United States of America." He argued tariffs have been, quote, "incredible for our national security and prosperity." The post comes as the Supreme Court expected to rule on the legality of Trump's emergency tariffs early this year. The tariffs on wood products and cabinets would not be affected by the ruling, however, as they are based on a separate tariff authority. Here's today's final word. His deep understanding of our organization, the wine industry, and the public policy landscape is unmatched. That Wine Institute board chair, Robert Baggett, announcing the appointment of Steve Gross as interim president and CEO of the Institute. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, January 5th. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Alley.